grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-pat? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on the rain, but I'm not afraid. This rover.
Why is there such a big fence, Dad?
Well, millions of people come to America in search of a better life, and we've decided we don't need that many.
Crossed over, if I never have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet, on the sunny side of the street.
Did something that I have never done in the 8 months we've been here.
Pooped in the bathroom?
No, I haven't done that yet. I hope I never have to. I went next door to the Kirkwood Brew House, and I just had a whiskey sour.
Whoa.
Whiskey sour is like an old person drink. It's for people who don't drink, like me, and because you can stand it. It's not real, you know, overpowering, and it's kind of sweet. And so I had a whiskey sour. And I probably should have had like two or three. Maybe I'll have one during the break and another one during another break.
Oh.
Hey, all right.
Wow.
Because it's one of those days. This has been... You know what's going to kill me? Stress. Stress will kill me. I don't handle stress very well.
Okay.
And my advice to anybody younger, like you, Limey, mm-hmm,
right,
is don't acquire a lot of stuff. Because the more stuff you get,
mm-hmm,
the more stress you have.
Okay.
I'll give you an example. If you have a boat requires stuff. Got to be tuned up or whatever. It's got to be winterized, maybe. It has to be placed somewhere on a trailer. It requires stuff. Oh, shoot. Hang
Uh-oh.
On.
Uh-oh.
You have to leave?
No. You need to go somewhere?
I've never talked about this, but I am part-time SWAT team member.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy.
I do not have to leave. Cable TV or a satellite or whatever you have, the more of that stuff you have, the more likely it is to go out every once in a while. Then you got to get on the phone and you got to deal with those morons, those voice prompt morons. If you're calling about a new account, press 1. If you're an existing customer, press 2. And you know who you want to get to. You just can't get to it. And then when you get to them, this happened. This is 3 hours of my day today.
I'm sorry to hear that.
3 hours. So you get, I get to one gal, and this was about, I told you, I just did this Exceed or Viasat or whatever they're called, satellite internet.
Okay.
I've only had it 2 weeks. It's gone out 4 times. So it goes out today. I'm on the phone for 40 minutes with somebody named Michelle.
Oh, boy, I'm sorry.
And when I'm talking to her, and she says, so what seems to be the problem? And let's say that I said, well, let's start with this first. I hear myself in an echo saying, let's start with this first, while I'm talking to her.
Okay.
It's irritating. And I said, where are you? I hope you're not out of the United States. She says, I'm in Dallas, Texas. I said, good. I don't want anybody in Mexico or the Philippines. I said, can you call me back? You have my number because the account's under my number. Mm-hmm. Call me back. Maybe we get rid of this echo. She said, okay. She calls me back. I say, okay, let's see if this is better. It's the same thing. Same thing. So for 40 minutes, I deal with that while I talk to her. As we're getting, I guess, hope closer to solving this problem, we get disconnected. Now, she doesn't call me back, so I have to call back through. Thanks for calling Viasat XC. If you're a new customer, I had to start all over, and a different person comes on. This person has an accent. Welcome to Viasat XC.
Oh, boy.
And I said, are you in the United States?
I'm in Dallas, India.
He said, no. Actually, I did the wrong accent. He was in Mexico. He said, I'm in Mexico. And I said, I don't want to talk to you. I want to talk to somebody. I said, transfer me to somebody. I said, I just did 40. Transfer me to somebody in the United States. He says, well, he said, we're unable to transfer you. If you want to talk to someone in the United States, you have to call back through. Click. I hang up. I call back through. Hi. Welcome to XC via set, internet speed, blah, blah, blah. If you're calling about, I finally, I love this too. Your approximate waiting time will be 2 minutes. It's a robotic thing. So, one thing I would like to say to any company that has the voice prompt thing, would you not put, when someone's on hold, the horrible, horrible music?
Oh, what was it? Was it jazz or was it classic rock?
Oh.
Couldn't recognize it.
It's probably
Your approximate waiting time is 2 minutes. Some music. And then a woman comes on. Hi, my name is whatever. Kanisha, whatever. And how can we help you today? And I said, well, are you in the United States? I am, she said. I said, then we can talk. I said, now I just got 40 minutes of explaining everything about why I'm calling to somebody else. We have to start over. Mm-hmm. So we started over. She made me so mad. I said, we need to decide right now what I'm going to do. I'm going to do one of two things. I've only had this service 2 weeks. I told her that. I said, I've had it 2 weeks. I need to decide right now whether I'm going to keep putting up with these voice prompts and multiple calls, or I'm just going to cancel this after 2 weeks and pay the penalty. Click. She hangs up on me.
Oh, she did?
Hung up
no
on me.
Way.
No, hung up on me.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
I call back. Hi, welcome to Viasat XSEED Satellite. If you're a new customer,
wow.
Press. I went through all that again. I get another person on the phone.
Mm.
Hi, how can I help you? I said, well, you're the fourth person I'm speaking to, and I'm going to start all over again. So I tell her what the problem is. I said, I have no internet. It says no internet connection. I went back and looked at the router. I looked at the modem. They're all lit up. They show full bars. They're lit up. She says, oh, we're just having a temporary outage in that area. And I thought, why didn't the other? And while I'm talking to her,
uh-huh,
it comes back. My computer screen, internet, there it is. There's my Yahoo Mail. But these other morons,
right,
had me going into the basement, unplugging, plugging back.
Oh.
I went through all these things, and they never once said,
There's an outage.
The outage, I guess, means the signal from the satellite.
Yeah.
There was a solar sunspot, whatever.
There is a trick that I found a couple of years ago when I used to pay my bills over the phone while I would sit at my computer and do my work, right?
Right, right.
And I found that the secret is to getting the best customer service in the world. And I'm telling you, they will go above and beyond. Sit there, and every time they answer you, just type something out on the keyboard. It doesn't have to be anything. Just make that sound so that they can hear it, and they'll think they're being audited. They'll think that it's somebody from their company who's checking up on them. And they will I'm being deadly serious. Every single time I have done this, my problem has been solved within minutes. I'm speaking to somebody clearly, and everything is handled.
So
when I've done it not, I've had your problem.
How do you know they hear?
Because I can hear it. Like, I can hear it coming through.
You make sure when you push the key.
Yeah, you make sure that you can, like, you know, that they're hearing it, like, you know, that they're getting, oh, crap.
A great suggestion.
Uh-oh.
Oh, crap.
You just knocked our screens out.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, crap. I just signed us out.
You did?
Yeah.
While he's telling me this great secret.
Oh, man.
He knocked all of our screens out.
Okay, we're good.
Okay.
We're good.
Wow.
Well, you know what? Yeah. I'll try that.
Yeah, absolutely. Try that. I'm telling you, it does work because they think they're being audited.
Next time, don't demonstrate anything. Yeah. Just say.
I'll just make the sound.
Yeah, make it sound like Frank does. Frank goes.
So I had a dish issue. That took over an hour.
Wow.
This took over 2 hours. And by the time something else happened. I don't remember what it was. It's just one of those days. You know, Willie Nelson has a great song, and it's a fairly recent song. Not a big hit, but it's called It Gets Easier. And if we don't have anything to talk about today, which we may not, I think we burned it all up yesterday. Well, good. I hope you have a lot, because I don't. But if we had all the time in the world, I would play you the first part of the Willie Nelson song. I may do it anyway. Do I have a place to plug in here? Does this thing right here plug into my phone?
Does it say... No. Does it say... You need something that says Laptop 1 on it. There's a blue cord around here. Okay, grab that. You see that, that blue cord next to you?
Yeah.
Tim, would you mind giving a play-by-play of what we're doing so the listeners know?
Yeah, here you go.
Yeah, I got it. No, I got it.
Limey's got his headphones over his hair, which is a good
hang
thing.
Oh, you know what? I can't do it because I don't have an adapter.
The bartender just brought another.
Oh,
you don't need an adapter.
I do.
Yeah.
I have a lightning.
Oh, you got the freaking, you need the dongle.
I need the dongle. I don't have the dongle.
That doesn't sound right. Dongle.
Hey, pull up. It's called It Gets Easier, Willie Nelson. I want you to hear this song, and I'll talk over the beginning of it, because the song essentially talks about when you get older, it gets easier. Not true. For anybody 45 or 50, if you think that you're headed into that blissful, perfect, crank it up a little bit. It's a beautiful song. And again, it's called Again. I want you to listen to the first part of the lyrics. It's actually a very sad song, because like a lot of his songs, it's about somebody who's lost somebody. Crank it up. Now listen to the lyrics.
As we get older, it gets easier to say, not today. And it gets easier as we get older. Say go away, but not today.
Does that mean?
Be quiet, be quiet.
I don't have to do one damn thing that I don't want to do, except for missing you, and that won't go away.
Okay, so what he says is, it gets easier as you get older. I don't have to do one damn thing I don't want to do. Not today. But I can't stop missing you. That's something that I can't put off. It's just, I can't get rid of it. You can fade it out. But it's not true that it gets easier as you get older. What I'm finding is, as you get older, it gets harder. Everything gets tougher. Actually, it doesn't get harder. Things get harder. Thank you. But it really is true. I watch these commercials with old people, you know, retired people, and they're on bicycles, and they're sitting in the bathtubs next to each other by the ocean. No, no. I have never had as much stress in my life as I have now. Medical things come up. A lot of people have issues with their kids. Thank goodness I don't have that. But it doesn't get easier. It gets harder. And the other thing that happens, Limey, I hope you're paying attention to this.
I am, sir.
Is you become irrelevant. You become invisible to people under 40. They see you, but they see an old person. And when younger people see an old person, that's all they see. They just see an old. They don't see somebody that was once them. You know, we were 30, 35, 25, 20. They don't see that person inside you. When you're inside your own body looking out, you can't tell how old you are because your mind is kind of the same. I still think the same jokes are funny I thought was funny when I was 18 years old. Your mind is the same. But I realize that to somebody else meeting you or looking at you who's younger, they go, yeah, he's old. Almost as if to say he didn't have anything to offer. Not true. We got like experience to offer, wisdom to offer, life stories to offer. So if you think that just because you've retired, and even if you retire and you got plenty of money to retire, it doesn't get easier. It doesn't. But I love Willie Nelson, and I love that song, and I love a lot of the songs that he does. And that's it. Does anybody have anything to say?
I do.
All right. You spoke first, so you go first. Ladies and gentlemen, direct from London, England, it's Limestone Trevor Limey Phillips. It's all yours.
Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
So I would like to talk on today's book segment about mac and cheese.
Cheese! Have you ever had good lobster mac and cheese?
I have not, but that's what I want to talk about, is what people are putting in their mac and cheese. All right. A friend of mine last night said, hey, look what I'm having for dinner, and it was a picture of mac and cheese, but with ketchup on it.
No.
Ketchup?
No.
Ketchup.
Don't be his friend.
Why would you put ketchup on mac
don't
and cheese?
Don't be
I don't know.
His friend.
But thank you, that was exactly
There's
my
thought.
There's
something wrong with
him. That is disgusting.
It is.
And this isn't the first time I've heard something disgusting.
I think ketchup
like
on scrambled eggs is disgusting.
I
a lot
do.
Of people do it, but I don't like
now,
it.
Now, well, ketchup on regular fried eggs, I am all
no.
for that. Scrambled eggs, not so much, but regular eggs, I am all for that. So, another one I've heard is when you're eating, like, you know, a pork steak, you got your mac and cheese and got your applesauce. I have heard of people,
what is this yogurt?
Mac and cheese and applesauce.
That's mine.
It is yours?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll push it over toward you. I just saw this bag of this yogurt, and it looked pretty good.
Not one I got, too.
No, it's yours. Take it. Go ahead. I'll get something more unhealthy. Go ahead.
There's no whiskey sour in my yogurt.
No. Go ahead. Mac and cheese. Go ahead.
Thank you. And I know people that have scooped up a fork of mac and cheese and then added applesauce to it.
Nope.
And I again think that is disgusting.
Nope.
Here's how. Like, I like your regular original mac and cheese, but one of my favorite mac and cheeses is some where you crisp up some bacon, you know, dice it up, fry it in a pan so it's nice and crispy, dice up some green onions, throw it all in when it's mixed up. That is my favorite mac and cheese. But I wanted to get your guys' reaction. How do you like your mac and cheese? And
here's how I like it, with just mac and cheese.
I like the
what?
I like that Velveeta.
Yes.
That is some good.
Yeah.
Like shell
it's not
noodles.
It's not even cheese. Velveeta is like melted plastic, but it's still good.
It's delicious.
And people go, well, that's not cheese. Who cares? Still good.
Kirkwood Brewhouse next door serves it with white cheddar.
Ooh.
Instead of,
is it good?
Well, it's $4 for a cup of it, but I mean, it's good enough that I'll splurge on that once a month just to get that.
I've never had it.
It's
ooh, I bet you that is
white
good.
Cheddar.
White cheddar mac and cheese.
Check
right.
that out.
So, yeah.
Check it out while you're doing the news at 4 o'clock.
There you go.
Maybe.
Smart man.
And get another whiskey sour.
So,
well, I might. So, that's it?
I just really wanted to, like, talk to people out there and just be like, and you guys, and just be like, hey, am I the only one who thinks this is kind of disgusting with ketchup on mac and cheese?
No, it is disgusting.
It is disgusting.
I don't think anybody would disagree with
me. Okay, well,
that was
it. Yep, that's all I got for today.
And now, Tim Woodburn, who started to speak but didn't really say anything, but I could tell he had something for the Berks. I mean, Dan, the phones are ringing like crazy. Maybe we need to see what people
something
want.
Something about mac and cheese.
Well, I don't care what it is. I want them to take us up to 4 o'clock. That's right, Red Boy. Because Dr. Doug comes in then, and he can take it for the hour. And please call him, because I got nothing today. All my head, my mind are still on those stinking voice prompt calls that I had all morning. So 314-821-0590 or 855-282-TALK. Go ahead, Dan. Tim, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Tim.
Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
I was going to just comment during your story about how you had a whiskey sour before you came on the air, and right after you talked about that, you went into your description of the voice of the person who was giving you the customer support, and it was clearly with an Indian dialect.
I know. That was a mistake.
Well, no. But what's so funny about it is that I thought how interesting it is that you were led to drink because of the behavior of somebody who talks from a country where pretty much alcohol is banned. You know, I mean, there's a lot of states in India where alcohol is banned and it's illegal to consume it. And yet when you talk to somebody from there, it leads you to go drink.
I did today.
Well, I just...
But the reason I did that was because normally, I think when you call about anything about electronics or technical things, that's what you get. You get Indian person. But I did not today. I got a Mexican person.
You know, if I do that, I bet your English could flop out. I like lime.
I'm gonna try that.
I'm telling you, you need to try that idea.
I'm gonna do it.
It'll work.
The other thing I was told is with the dish thing, ask the person you're speaking with, say, I need a T3 level supervisor. I don't know what that is, but somebody who knew said do that.
All right.
So next time I'll do it.
I have to remember that.
Was that it, Tim?
Yes, sir.
All right. Dan, anything?
I have something, but it kind of ties in with Johnny Londoff. So I will talk with Londoff when he comes on with us, because I ended up FaceTiming with a guy named Jay Cahill who bought a truck, and he's buying several trucks from Johnny Londoff.
Good for him.
Because with his foundation, and my friend Michelle, who works at Londoff, was his contact, and then put him in touch with another salesperson, and he found out that I married Michelle and John, her husband, and he said, oh, he'd like to meet me.
Now, you have to explain that to people who don't know what you mean. Yeah. You didn't marry him, like, get married.
No, I didn't get married
to
him.
You performed the ceremony because you are a licensed minister.
Yes, I am.
So I know that sounds
awkward or weird.
It sounds like it shouldn't be, but you are.
Yeah.
See, that doesn't seem right to me that, no offense, but somebody like you or like me could get online and get a legitimate, recognized minister certificate. You are too?
I am also ordained. I have performed my wedding.
Well, I rest my case.
Wow. Yeah.
That anybody can be ordained as a minister.
Yeah. I didn't have this haircut, though, at the time, so just want to throw that
you
out.
Could. There's some weird, goofy, religions. You want to hear a great bonus joke?
I would
religion?
Love one.
Sure.
All right, so these, Dan, did you have more? Or?
No, that was it. We can talk about it more with John.
Right, let's close the Burke segment. I could break this into two parts and kill a lot of time, which I think I'm going to do because I got nothing today. First part before the joke will be my only experience with Jehovah's Witnesses. I live in the woods. I live in on 4 acres of heavy, heavy, tall, thick trees. The woods. Tarzan could live in my backyard. It's like the jungle. It is. So, and it's kind of remote. Nobody comes to my house without the risk of getting shot, because you're not in the subdivision going door to door. You're not coming to my front door. You shouldn't be anyway. There have been two exceptions. Three. In the 32 years I lived there. And, one was Jehovah's Witnesses. I was upstairs shaving, getting ready for whatever. It was morning or, oh no, it was a weekend. And I heard a car door outside. The bathroom window, you could look down and up and look outside and see the driveway. Mm-hmm. And there's a car. There's never a car in my driveway, unless it's mine. And a really well-dressed family. And I knew exactly what they were. Jehovah's Witnesses. And I see the car stay there, and I can sort of see them. And they're at the front door, and they're just standing there. And I could just hear muffled voices, and they're still there. And they're there for, I don't know, a couple minutes, and then they get in the car and leave. So I go downstairs, and I ask my wife, I said, what was that? She said, oh, the nicest people. See, my wife is too nice and too naive. She said, it's a nice family, and they left this, and it was literature. And
watch
I said,
yeah,
yes, the watchtower. And I said, those are Jehovah's Witnesses. She said, well, they were very nice. I said, of course they were nice. That's their whole thing, is they're well-dressed and they're nice. So what did you tell them? She said, I didn't really tell them anything. I took their literature, and that's pretty much all she said. Mm-hmm. So about a week later, she's not home, and I'm home. They came back to the house.
Oh, no.
I go to the door, and they said, hello. And I said, hello. And they said, we were by last week, and we met your lovely wife, and she was so nice. I said, get to the point. She said, well, she said that it would be okay if we came back.
And I said, she actually said that to you, that you could come back here? And they said, yes, she did. And I said, well, she made a mistake. I said, I run this house, okay? I don't know about your religion, but I'm the head of this house. And I'm telling you, after today, you can't come back. And you shouldn't have come back today. And I said, look, I'm not a mean person. I'm not a hateful.
Right.
I'm not a hateful person. I just don't want anybody coming to my house. I said, that's why I live in the woods. I said, would you all do me a favor? And it's a father and a mother and like two or three kids, and they're all dressed up like they're going to Easter Sunday, whatever. Right. And I said, would you all just slowly turn around, a complete 360, just all of you do it? And they looked kind of puzzled, and they did it. They all turned around and then they turned around and faced me. I said, what did you see when you turned around? And they said, trees. I said, yes. And that's all I want to see. I don't want to see people.
Goodness.
I don't want to see salespeople. I don't want to see your family. So thank you for coming. Don't come back.
Tremendous.
And they left. And they've never come back. Now, here's the bonus joke.
Did you pull your coat open and shoot the Glock in the right hip and the 44 in the left?
No. Like I didn't have to do that. They got the message. So here's the great joke. Here's the bonus joke. This Jehovah's Witness family comes to a door, and the husband and wife are home, and they go to the door, and they introduce themselves, and they have some literature, and they talk for a little bit. And the Jehovah's Witness dad says, do you mind if we come in? And these people say, sure, come on in. So they walk into the foyer or the entry area there of the house. And then they all just stand there looking at each other. And the homeowner says, what next? And the Jehovah's Witness dad says, I don't know. We never got this far. I wonder what the success rate is, like, out of 20 homes that they go to the front. How many let them in?
I was a senior at Mizzou when a couple of bike riders came by. I was living in a single family residence duplex, and as most college students do, drink heavily, and I was about six beers into a night, and these guys showed up at my door, I invited them in. And I invited them in, and we had quite a charismatic conversation about the origin of the Bible and about the existence of God and whatnot. And these guys got so aggravated with me, they left.
Beautiful.
They left. I mean, it's almost like taunting the telemarketer keeping them going all along. It's like, where are you guys going? Where are you guys going? Oh, thank you, Tim. It's been nice meeting you. We got to move on down to the next. I just wonder how many times in their life somebody actually wanted them to stay when they wanted to leave. And I wonder.
You know what? I'll bet you could be that guy that. No.
Just constantly keeps talking to them as they're trying to inch towards.
Well, you could be the guy who actually would make. You probably did that night. Believe. Made them go, let's get out of here.
Oh my God.
Any home but this. Any house but this.
They painted a red X on my mailbox so the next guys wouldn't come the next day.
Robert has a traffic bulletin.
Well, I'll talk to Robert, then I'll talk to Andrew. Don't go away, Andrew. Robert, how you doing? Welcome to 590 The Fan. What's the traffic bulletin?
AM into PM first.
Thank you, Robert.
Okay, out here at Pacific on Old 66, where you go past the prison towards Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone gets off at Six Flags exit and takes Old 66. Well, just past the prison, between the prison and Pacific, the police have the roadblock and they're turning everyone back, making them go back to the highway and go down the highway to the Pacific exit.
Whoa.
Good to know.
So that's anyone getting off. If you're going to Pacific, might as well not get off. And the only time they do that on this road is if there's a fatality accident.
Ooh. Wow. Okay, that's good to know. Thank you. You've done a great public service, Robert.
The only thing that would have made that traffic up
Thank you, Robert.
If he just said there's prisoners all over the highway.
Right. Well, that's what he thought.
There's been a jailbreak.
Did you ever see that, though? The chain gang thing where there's a guy with a shotgun on the side of the road with him? I'm not kidding. I'm not talking about community service picking up trash. I'm talking about chain gang. Mm-hmm. And they're chained together. Mm-hmm. I've seen that, especially in the South.
Is that prison open?
Oh, yeah. I live right by it. Remember Paul Newman? Shaking that tree, boss?
Yeah.
Shaking that tree, shaking that tree, boss.
Well, don't tell me, don't tell me. Oh, my goodness. Hang on. The movie. What is it? What's the movie?
I know, there's
the hard-boiled egg movie, right, where he eats the eggs, too.
Right.
I can't believe this.
All right, I'll look
it up. I'm losing.
Sorry.
You want to talk to Andrew?
Yeah, I do. Andrew, welcome to 590 The Fan. What can we do for you? Andrew?
Andrew must have
It's Cool Hand, Cool Hand Luke.
Cool Hand Luke, that's it. Andrew's gone, right?
He must have hung
gone.
Up.
Gone, goodbye.
Sorry, Andrew.
They talk to Mike. I'll talk to Mike. Hey, Mike, welcome to 590 The Fan. What can we do for you?
Thanks, Frank. I'm AM in the PM.
Thank you.
Yeah, I wanted to share a Jehovah Witness story with you.
We'd love to hear it.
Back in, I was probably 20, 21, 22, worked overnight, you know, after work, you go out. And anyway, so about 8 o'clock, 8:30 in the morning,
anyway,
the doorbell rings, and I'm somewhat inebriated.
You can't even say it now. Are you inebriated now? He's drunk now.
So I answer the door, and there's two Job's daughters there, and, you know, they start their spiel, and I'm like, ladies, I'm hungover. I said, I worked the overnight shift. I said, you know, I appreciate it. I said, but I said, just not interested. I said, I'm, you know, and they keep going on, and finally, you know, they get it, and they leave. Well, my sister owns the house next door, so I run out the back door, run into her back door, and she kind of looked at me, and I said, let me answer the door. Not a minute later, doorbell rings. I go to the door. I open the door. These two ladies look like they've seen the devil himself.
Because they're seeing the same guy two houses in a row. Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what can I help you with?
This
and they're
is
like,
great.
And they just kind of look, and they're looking back at the other house, and they're looking at this house, and they're like, never mind. Turn around and walk down the driveway.
Maybe they thought they'd been drinking and didn't know us.
She said, go to the front door. My brother might be interested in talking to you.
Yeah. Did you talk to my twin brother next door? My identical twin? That's a good story. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
You too. I do have, since we're out of Burke segment, there is one other story. And I've told it before about somebody who came to my house, and I do live in the woods, and I do like privacy. I like to walk out and pee in the woods in my backyard. My house, the front doorbell, when you ring it, there are telephones that ring through the house, and it's a special ring. It means somebody's at the door.
Okay.
And when you pick up the phone, you talk to whoever's at the door. And I know that sounds real uppity. Trust me, it's not. Simple system. 2 o'clock in the morning, the phone rings, and it's the doorbell ring. And again, I'm in the black, dark woods. And I picked up the phone, I said, hello. And this guy said, can I come in and use your phone? This is pre-cell phone. Can I come in and use your phone? My car is stuck. And I need to call a tow truck. And I thought, okay,
right.
This is a good one. And I said, how'd you get your car stuck? He said, well, my girlfriend, and we were parking, and then it got stuck, and I need to get out and get her home. And I really need to get a tow truck. Her dad's going to kill me. It at that point, it was a better story because it kind of made, okay, I can see that where that could happen. But you still got to be
wary. Really,
and he said, I've knocked on two other doors on this road, and nobody would let me in. He said, please, let me just use the phone. So I said, okay. I said, stay right there. I grabbed what at the time was the biggest gun I owned. It was a .44 Magnum with an 8-inch barrel. And
wow.
I went to the front door, and I looked out first. And sure enough, here's a young guy, I don't know, 19, whatever. And somebody was standing off to the side. Now, if somebody's going to rob you, beat you, kill you, whatever, they'll have an accomplice. And then when you open the door, they both rush in. So I opened the door real quickly, and I just pointed that gun right at his face. And I said, you better be telling me the truth. I thought he was going to faint and wet his pants and poop in his pants at the same time. He started shaking, and he said, oh, my God, please don't kill me. And I said, oh, I won't kill you unless you're here for anything other than a tow truck. And there's a girl next to him. So I think, okay, this is the girlfriend. This is oh, a legit, it's a legit story.
Oh,
and I said, okay, I'll come in. And he came in. And it turns out that he had parked. They backed in right down just a few feet from my house. They had backed into the woods and got stuck in soft ground.
Oh,
couldn't
no.
get out. And we called a tow truck. And he said, I also need, if you don't mind, to use your phone to call her house. So
let her parents know.
Yeah. Right. And he said, her dad is an Air Force colonel. And he said, he will kill me now. And I said, no, he won't. I said, we're not going to let him kill you. So I said, let me call him.
Wow.
So I called his parents. And this woman answers, real nice lady, hello. And I said, Mrs. Whatever, he told me her name. And I said, I told her my name. And I said, I have a young man here who's with your daughter. And before I say anything else, everything is fine. She's fine. Okay. He's fine.
Smart.
But they had a little car trouble. And he is very concerned. He wants to make sure you know that we got a tow truck coming to get everything. Everything's fine. They'll be a little late. Got a bus curfew, but it's nothing. It's everything's fine. She said, thank you so much. And then he took the phone and spoke to her and said, please tell Mr. So-and-so that
right.
everything. And he handed me the phone back. And the tow truck guy comes. And I wish I could remember the name of the towing company. Because when the driver saw this kid, saw how young he was, and saw the predicament they were in, here's what they needed. They need the tow truck to pull him like 6 feet forward, just out onto the road. That's it. He wanted an exorbitant amount of money. I forgot what it was, but it was ridiculous. Like $100 to pull him 4 feet. And this was years and years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, that's the price. And I walked down the street with him, and I'm standing there, and out in the, now it's 3 o'clock in the morning.
Do you still have your Magnum?
No. It's at the house. And I looked at the tow truck driver, and I said, I know exactly what you're doing. He said, well, I'm doing my job. I said, no, you're not. You're screwing these kids. You're taking advantage of them, and you're overcharging them. But I'll pay you. But I won't forget this. And I paid him. Now...
That's when you should have gone back and got your Magnum.
No.
How much
before the kid left, before he left, he said, if you'll give me your name and address, I certainly want to repay you. And I did. And about a week later, in the mail, was a letter and a check. And it was a check reimbursing me. And I'll never forget this. He started the letter. He said, first of all, thank you for not killing me. And he said... I also want to add that her dad didn't kill me either. Everything is okay. Thank you. And that was it. But it's pretty creepy. Somebody comes to your door at 2 or 3 in the morning.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially, well, anywhere. Even a subdivision, it'd be creepy.
Unless you're expecting like a child to come home for like a concert or something.
And they got locked out or whatever.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Then, any knock on the door past 11 o'clock or midnight.
But here's the thing, even if you have a kid at a concert, you know what's scary? You think it might be the cops with bad news.
Oh, right.
See, that's you don't want that either. If the phone rings or the doorbell rings or somebody knocks at the door, any of that at 2, 3, 4 in the morning, it's usually not good. It's just not good.
I just read a news story last week about a guy in the Beeville Mill area who had a girlfriend, and apparently her ex-boyfriend knew where she'd been hanging out, and he came to his house, to his back door about 2 o'clock in the morning. He shot him dead.
Oh, my God.
Done. And wasn't arrested, wasn't charged. She had a restraining order against him and everything, but, I mean, you're right. It's like Chris Rock says, there is no reason for ATM machines to be open between 2 and 4 a.m. in the morning.
There is no reason.
Because the only reason you need that is for drugs or something worse.
No, and I think he's right. They should lock him out. Wow. Lock him out after especially certainly 2 in the morning. And the other thing my parents used to always say, and they were real strict, especially with that curfew thing. Man, I used to I would drive home so fast, thinking, I'm not going to make it. Because
mm-hmm.
I mean a minute after, boom, the wrath of Satan would come down on me. And I think what they didn't realize was with no leniency, it could cause a kid to get killed because you're driving home so fast to beat the curfew. It's just not...
driving erratically.
And then, of course, you could say, well, leave earlier. Let me tell you something. When you're with your girlfriend and you're making out and it's really good, you just can't leave. You can't quit. You know what? You know that feeling? It's like,
yeah.
Oh, it's midnight. I got to be home by 1, and I live 45 minutes away. You're just your lips are almost bleeding. You're making out. It's great. You can't say goodnight. You just can't. It's hard to do.
Well, you got married when you were like 15. I mean, how many girls did you make out with?
Not many. You know, I never even kissed a girl till I was 15, which I think is pretty old. No, I was 16. I think that's old for a guy not to kiss a girl on the lips,
yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah, that's pretty old.
I'm 16.
Yeah.
And I've said this before. I used to practice.
Didn't on the mirror.
With a mirror. Yeah. I kissed myself in the mirror. No, I did. I take a mirror and kiss myself.
Didn't they have, like, you know, spin the bottle back in those days in school?
I was never invited to play. I didn't go to any. Nobody liked me. I was like a nothing kid. I didn't have any friends. I didn't go play spin the bottle.
Aw.
And I finally... I don't know. Like, I don't know how many people remember the first girl they ever kissed, like, on the lips. I sure do. I remember her
Catherine
name.
Catherine Prince.
You do?
Yeah, Catherine Prince. That's her name.
How old were you?
7 or 8, I think. Yeah.
I had a chance when I was 12.
And that wasn't like making out. It was just like, you know, peck on the lips. But it was a pretty big deal back then.
Yeah. I had a chance when I was 12, and I blew it. My neighbor in Tennessee, Danny, he said, hey. He says, my cousin's coming from Rome, Georgia. She's going to stay for a week. He said, she's hot, and she French kisses.
Oh.
And he said, if you go down in the woods with her, she'll let you French kiss her. And I was too scared to do it.
Oh.
I was 12.
It's like Vicky on vacation.
You know, the other thing I didn't want to admit, I didn't know what that meant. French kiss, what is that?
Yeah.
I didn't know what that was. Like what?
And you can't Google it back then either.
No.
So who do you ask?
No. If you ask anybody, it's an admission that you're stupid.
Well, when you kiss yourself in the mirror, is it a French kiss or is it like a closed mouth?
Closed mouth.
Oh, okay.
It's got to be closed mouth.
Closed mouth.
Because that would make you a window licker.
Yes, it would. Do I need to do some business?
You do indeed.
Okay. You want to break first? You want me to go first?
You go first.
Okay. I come here, when I come here every day, I go down 40. I leave... the Valley, Chesterfield Valley, I get on 40.
Down in the Valley.
No, I didn't say down in the Valley.
Bad.
I didn't
my
say
bad.
That.
It wasn't even the right song for him to sing. That's a double whammy.
What's the right song, Heather? No, thank you.
Oh,
thank you.
Larry Connors just brought me.
Check, please.
Yeah. Larry Connors just brought me another whiskey salad. This is going to be a good show. This will be the best show we've ever done. Thank you, Larry. How can he afford that? He works here.
Yeah. They probably come.
So if I say, edit out what you just did, because it made you sound stupid. Edit it out.
Radio edit.
So I pass by Amini's every time when I go down 40, and there it was, shiny. I don't know how they keep that copper dome on that building. I wonder if somebody has to go out and polish that, because it's always shiny and bright. It's like a new copper penny, like the difference between a new penny and an old penny. So there was Amini's, and I looked over and trying to see if the parking lot was full, because I like, it never will be, because it's huge. The parking lot's huge. But I would like to think that we have AM and the PM people who, on a regular basis, go in there just, if for no other reason, just out of curiosity, just nose around. What's the store all about, where they have everything from rugs to pinball machines to the highest quality furniture in the world? We'll do that. Because that's the only way you're going to get it. It's the only way you're going to know. You just go in. Go in and walk around. Tell them you're AM of the PM. Be proud of it. Say it proudly. I'm AM of the PM. You can say Frank Opinion if you want to. Now, if there's a young person who just got hired there, and you walk up and go, I'm AM of the PM, they may go, what does that mean? Say, can I see your supervisor? Or could I see a manager? Tell the manager that you're there and you're AM of the PM. You'll get special treatment. They like that, and we survive on it. We don't just like it. We need it. We have to have it. Take your time. Take your family. I don't care how old or young they are. Take them all. Nobody's going to want to leave. Nobody's going to leave in 5 minutes. They're going to want to take the time, walk around, have some fun, see some tremendous furniture, some exciting games. It's just a terrific variety of products. And on a regular basis, go to their website. I'm going to give you that in a minute, because that's where the savings will be. The sales on their website. AMINIS, Amini's.com.
All right, let's check traffic right now. Here's Tory Lyons.
Traffic's brought to you by Discover Student Loans. You're heavy into Dorset on southbound 270, then 64 to Doherty Ferry. Westbound 64, slow Vandeventer to Big Bend. Delays westbound 44 at Kings Highway, again at Shrewsbury. And you're picking up volume southbound 170 at 64. Figuring out how to cover college costs? Discover Student Loans, one of the top private student loan lenders in the country. Great rate, zero fees, plus students earn a cash reward for good grades. Visit discoverstudentloans.com to apply today. I'm Tori Lyons reporting for 590 The Fan. Now back to the Large Morning Show in the afternoon.
This is on you, your goal, but you're not alone. One Nation Nutrition thinks it's a joint responsibility to get you where you want to be and how you want to look. With three St. Louis area locations to serve you, St. Peter's, O'Fallon, and Wentzville, now is the time to come together as One Nation, One Nation Nutrition.
Hi, this is Tim Woodburn. My firm, Gateway Investigations, has been in business in St. Louis for over 10 years. We use modern GPS technology to find people or to figure out what they're doing when you're not around. Call me, 238-1367, or email me, tim@gatewaypi.net.
At the Gatesworth, you set the standard for exceptional senior living. Their warm residential setting and commitment to personalized service ensure that each resident has what they need, when they need it, and the way they like it. Start with the active routine, relax, and savor each moment. Visit the Gatesworth on Facebook or schedule a personal tour on thegatesworth.com and see for yourself how the Gatesworth does senior living your way.
Hi, this is Dave Gorton. 10 years ago, when I needed to get cash to pay off some credit cards, I called Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. The monthly savings and customer service made me refer family, friends, and coworkers. Check out my friend and yours at thehomeloanexpert.com.
The Home Loan Expert, LLC.
Well, the people have spoken, and Bertarelli Cutlery has listened. Bertarelli Cutlery, 314-664-4005. The people have spoken. And Bertarelli Cutlery has listened. Bertarelli Cutlery, 314-664-4005. The people have spoken. And Bertarelli Cutlery has listened. Bertarelli Cutlery, 314-664-4005.
Don't have a lot of time, but... Dan says the lady on the phone goes by the name Sam, I guess like Samantha or something. Sam, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Hey, I am so proud of you. You kept Mr. Burke alive.
Somebody should keep Mr. Burke alive. Dan tells me that you told
him. Awesome teacher.
Yeah, Dan told me that you told him you had Mr. Burke as a history teacher.
Yes, and so did Kevin. Kevin is the one that hangs up on me because I call him during your show.
I don't know who that is. Who's Kevin?
I know Dan. I'm a musician, local musician, know Johnny Holsom, all those guys.
Yeah, I don't care. Yeah. I want to talk to Sam. I'm partial to the ladies. Get off the phone. Get off the phone, and let me talk to Sam. Brother, what's with this guy? No wonder people hang up on him. He just took over her conversation. When you had him as a teacher, did he get up and start class that way? Does anybody have anything to say?
Absolutely. Yes, he did. And Kevin had him as a teacher, too. Kevin's from Waterloo.
And you remember, it was top of the hour, and exactly at a quarter after, I don't care how much you...
It doesn't matter what you were talking about, he would cut it off.
Because we tried to get him into a conversation hoping he'd forget about class. He wouldn't.
Nope.
You couldn't do it.
He wanted us to know about history.
Yeah, and he was a tremendous... He did more in 45 minutes than anybody else could have done in the whole hour.
He was my favorite teacher.
Yeah.
Now, absolutely was.
Did you have...
I have been listening to you for 20 years.
Well, thank you. Sam,
I am AM and the PM.
Thank you, Sam. Sam, did you have a teacher called Mr. Brandon?
I did.
No, I'm not talking to you.
Kevin.
Yeah, he's a musician. He really is. No, he's a musician, all right. They have no etiquette at all.
No etiquette.
Hey, Frank,
did you know a Ruth Wild or Wild?
Sounds vaguely familiar. Listen, since you're a musician, did you take music in high school? Did you have Mr. Probasco?
I did.
Do you know that his daughter was my girlfriend for a while, Linda? No.
That was Ruth Wills.
Whoa.
I don't know who that is.
Her?
I don't.
That's his aunt.
Whose aunt?
Her claim to fame is that she dated you.
She said what?
Oh, don't take that away from me.
No, hold on, wait a second. She said she dated me? I dated eight people total in my whole life. She didn't
and
date me.
And you don't remember Ruth?
Wow,
I don't. I don't want to hurt anybody's rude. Feelings, but no, that's not rude. Anyway. It's telling the truth.
Anyway.
Or rude.
No. Probasco's daughter, Linda, was my girlfriend on our senior trip. We went to Lake of the Ozarks, and all we did was, like, just kiss and make out the whole time. We'd ride, the sky lift. They had these, ski lift things. Oh, man, it was great. She was a neat girl. Neat girl.
You guys are hilarious. I love you. I have to tell you, we enjoy your show.
Did you have the principal with the wooden leg?
She's complimenting you.
I don't want to be complimented. Did you have the principal with a wooden leg, Mr. Meeks? He had a wooden leg. Oh, I got to tell a great story. We come back, I'll tell a great story.
They brought termites into the school.
No, I did something really not
nice.
Did he
have a wooden eye, too, and a girlfriend with a...
Okay. No, I forget. That's another joke. Thank you, Sam. Thank you for the call. We got to do the news. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.